Don't hide, hijack, or hinder the gospel with your life. Motivations. Well, as you know, Paul's ministry in Thessalonica had not gone as he'd planned. Has ministry ever gone as you'd planned? Are there times when you've wanted one thing and it's just not worked out? Lord, I thought you wanted me to do this. I thought you wanted me to speak to this person and they've shut the door in my face and it seems to be the end. Lord, I thought you were calling me to start this ministry and yet it lasted for a few years and ended. I'm guessing that all of us at some point, and I'm hoping and praying that all of us can, at some point say that that's true of us. A conversation or a relationship that we wanted to tell them about Jesus didn't go as we had planned. I want to encourage you today. God's bigger than our little discouragements. Let me tell you about a story. Lorna was her name. She was beautiful, and she went on missions. She went to a country called Poland when she was in her teens, and she caught the kind of the bug to tell others about Jesus. And so, at the end of her schooling, she raised money to go over to Canada, the other part of Canada, and to train with an organization to then go to Poland. Well, she went on the training, and after 3 months was ready to go. But the money hadn't come for her to leave. She had to go home, back to her home church, and to pray and to ask for support to go to Poland, to go on the missions that she always wanted to go on, and that she felt that she was led to go on. The work in Poland collapsed during that time. And suddenly, God said, "I don't want you there. I want you in Jamaica, in the middle of Jamaica, working in a very rural farming community." Well, she approached her church and said, "Actually, I believe that I'm to go to Jamaica. I'm sorry I didn't understand or hadn't heard from the Lord, but anyway," within days, the money had been raised. And she found herself in Jamaica, and within 6 months, she met me. Anyway, when things don't go to plan, she met me. Sorry, that's... I think... And there are other stories. I was thinking of even the years I've been here. Ministries that we've just endeavoured to seek to do. Refresh was one that has now changed and morphed into something new and exciting. We have the 4 o'clock service at St. Richard's, started weekly and then is now only monthly. But has God got another plan? Are there other things that God is doing? Well, I want to encourage us and tell us a little story about this man here. Mission failure. I won't spend too long on mission failure. What appeared to be a mission failure. This is Dr. W.H. Leslie. He went to the Democratic Republic of Congo in 1912. He went there, and after 7 years, he returned a discouraged man. It seemed like all had been a failure. He returned home from ill health, and actually after 9 years died. The legacy seemed to have been lost. The word seemed to be fruitless. And yet in 2010, a team went out into that same area. And do you know what they found? They found a church planting movement that had been set in motion by Dr. Leslie. They found a 1,000-seater cathedral with 8 churches in each of the towns. They found that each church had a choir, and they often had sing-offs between one choir and the next. There's an idea. The church was thriving and bearing fruit when there was an apparent mission failure attached to his time. Well, you know and I know that this letter to the Thessalonians had that stamp, or at least appeared to be a failure. Paul had turned up and after 3 weeks had been run out of town. Mission failure. And yet, there is fruit. That's what we're going to see. That man, Paul, goodness me. Good riddance, I say. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't even bother hanging around here. There's a much better preacher just around the corner. You should listen to him. He's got great charisma. He's a fantastic man. And do you know what? He's not done a runner on you lot after 3 weeks. Said Terry of Thessalonica. He was one of many who basically were bad-mouthing Paul and his ministry. What kind of a gospel has he got if he lasts for 3 weeks? Fair-weather Christian. That's what they call them nowadays, Christians. Under persecution, he crumbled. So listen to the preacher down the road. He's much better. He's hanging around. Different story, but still, if you like all that God stuff and all that kind of religious talk, he's the man to follow. Paul, in Thessalonians, in this section, we hear him respond. Look with me at verse 1. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully maltreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. Paul had already come from Philippi and already been persecuted. He went into Thessalonica, and instead of keeping a low profile and being quiet, he went straight to the synagogue and did it all over again. He preached the gospel. And then we know what happened next was, after he got run out of Thessalonians, he went to Berea. And what did he do then? He went straight to the synagogue and preached the gospel again. Was Paul a fair-weather Christian? No, he was not. He certainly was not. He had great courage. But I guess he also thought that death wasn't going to help the cause, at least at this time. But he had a greater calling. What actually happened? Well, we saw that Paul is modelling ministry. Pushing doors, making the most, sharing and spreading the gospel. And then seeing what God will do. You see, it never was about his prowess. It was never about his preaching. It was never about anything like that. What was it about? It was the gospel of Paul. It was the gospel of... What does it say in the passage? Gospel of God. That's what it says, verse 2. Courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. It's God's gospel. It's not me. Paul said it never was about me. How well I preach and teach. And it's the message. I'm just the messenger. Shoot the messenger and the message will continue. Paul was a model minister. He's highlighting the message. But what he also highlights is this, is actually how we can hijack or gag the gospel. How we can help or hinder the gospel message. And the question today is this, is are we hijacking or are we helping the gospel message? Paul mentions three things. It's God's message. It's his message. And then he talks about his motivation and he talks about his method. Paul is a great example that we should follow. He is an apostle. It's God's message. And verse 4 tells us he is just entrusted. That's the word. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, like a precious package, his job is just to deliver it. I'm just the messenger, he says. I may not look or appear with great prowess, but it's the message that I bring. He has no twist. He has no kind of spin. It is God's news to share. You do know that the gospel message is great news for people in Crowborough, don't you? Do you know the gospel is the greatest news you could tell anybody? And your neighbour, although they might not know it yet, it's what they need to hear, what they need to live. That's what God has designed us to hear and to live by. It's his message. So let's have courage, as Paul did, to share his message and to offer it. We might be run out of town, but let's keep sharing with courage. Secondly, does that go on to another picture? Where am I? No animation, we're fine. Okay, secondly, our motivation. What is our motivation in sharing the gospel? I look great. Or at least that's what the preachers down the road would do. It earns me lots of money. I have power. I have prestige. In reality, Paul says, that's not why I'm preaching. Look at verse 3. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery. Paul's not speaking to please mankind, to fill his pocket. Paul's speaking to please God, who tests our hearts. That's what it says. We have been entrusted and approved because, so when we speak, verse 4, not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. Have you ever been in a situation where you've said the right thing, but for the wrong reasons? Or even with the wrong motive. When I was a teacher down in Essex, up in Essex, there you go. When I was in teaching, there was one of the teachers invited us to hear about some exciting news. He started telling us about a business that he was involved in. The business was exciting. And involved networking. You might know it. It was called Amway. We were swept along to a conference, and we heard of inspiring stories, and we had little packs and other bits and bobs. And then we were encouraged to do the same, to go and share that with others, to phone all our friends and families, and to say, look what you're missing out on. This is great. Do you know what? Thinking back, my heart sinks. My heart sinks. For actually, my motive for sharing this was money, poor teacher's salary, tough times. Although, of course, it was, you know, good to tell other people about things that are around. But sadly, even to this day, some of my friends I've not spoken to since. What's the motive in the message that we give? Our gospel message has the greatest motive. And unlike just fancy packaging and inspirational talk, it bears fruit. Fruit for all eternity. We don't say things to manipulate. We don't say things to trick. There's no deception. Our desire is quite simple. We want to please God. And that's what we believe we're doing as we share the gospel. Think about your motives. You see, it works in two ways. You can either share with the wrong motives, or you can not share with the wrong motives. Because we're worried about what other people might say. You're worried about inviting people to the Queen on the Green, this picnic. I've asked them already, they'll say no. We go bowls together, but we don't talk about God. We don't talk about faith. Don't talk about hope. But wait until someone dies or something drastic happens in their life. Well, actually, maybe our motivation to be safe and to be comfortable is a wrong one. We need to guard ourselves for the right motives, for we love God, share the gospel with others. Maybe after the service as well, when there are opportunities to pray with people, you don't go and pray. Why? Because of pride. Wonder what people might say. Wonder what people might think. Maybe you don't even tell people you go to church. Well, actually, let's think about the right motives. As Paul did, what it was his motivation? It was not for money, it was not for power, it was not for public acclaim. It was to please God. And so how did he therefore do it? How does the motivation then affect our method? What does he do, verse 5? As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came to you with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others. Though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you. What was Paul's picture? Like a mother nursing a baby. Fortunately, he didn't dress up like that. He knew in his 3 weeks there, he loved them. Like a nurse, the picture here is of a nurse and the love that a nurse would give, but actually nursing her own child. So it's a mum and a nurse joined together, knowing what the child needs best, knowing how to care for, tenderly care for, caring, being gentle. And this? Who's this? This is Paul. This is Paul we're talking about here. You know, that misogynist pig that people talk about. I was at a conference the other day and they were saying, I was using Paul and Timothy as example of for ministry, and someone turned around to me and said, oh no, don't talk to me about Paul. I'd much rather look at Barnabas and Mark. No, Paul's a bad example. Look at Paul here. He's got a really bad rap. He's got the wrong rumours, I guess, to be honest with you. To this day, the very similar thing that was happening in Thessalonica happens today. People ignore Paul's part of the gospel. God's word through Paul is being ignored. Why? I do not understand. Because he here models. He models a gentle, a caring, a loving, a sacrificial. You know a mother. A mother shares her whole life with her child. Suddenly, priorities get turned on their heads. Suddenly, the care and protection of the child comes paramount. That's the picture we have here from Paul. That's exactly it. So deeply do we care for you that we determine to share not just the gospel of God, but also our very selves, because you have become dear to us. And it's hard work, isn't it? Being a parent. And when I say being a parent, you might think, actually, I'm not a parent, therefore I can switch off. No. Paul, equally, he's not a parent. He doesn't need to dress up in a women's club, but actually he can still be like a mother to a church, to others. Who are you a mother to? And you can be male or female. Who do you care for? Who are you sharing your life with? Who are you gentle with? And not just in the physical way, but actually in the spiritual way. Who are you drawing alongside and nurturing, feeding, encouraging, supporting, sharing your life with, your walk with Jesus with? Well, this is the picture that Paul paints. It is a healthy picture, one like a father, like a mother. It's the wrong way around. It's my father's hat. There you are. I'll aspire to one day wearing a hat like this. But as a father, what does the father do in our passage? Look with me about this. Like a father, what does he do? He is encouraging and exhorting. He is spurring on. Verse 11 and 12. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging. Come on, my lad. Yes. Go on, get stuck in. Go on, it's not easy. Yes, I know it's not easy. But keep going. Yes, I know it's hard and lonely sometimes. I hear myself in my conversations with my children. But that's in life. We want it to be in spiritual life as well. Who do you urge and encourage? Who are you like a father to? Again, you don't need to be male or female. And are you encouraging them to lead a life worthy of the Lord? That's what it says, verse 12. Who calls you into his own kingdom. We know that it's going to be tough. Verse 9. You remember our labor and our toil. We weren't a burden to you. You are our witnesses, as God is, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct towards you was. So Paul models for us. At a time when mission failure could well have been easily stamped on the picture. This picture that actually there seemed to be little fruit. But excitingly, we'll see in the rest of the letter that that actually fruit bears, that the seed bears fruit. I want to leave with you a quote from a gentleman called, I think it's Brendan Manning. I can't read that small. Brennan Manning. He said this, "The single greatest cause of atheism today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lifestyle." No, who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then deny him with their lifestyle. This is what Paul was facing. The gospel is the greatest we can give, but you know what? You can hinder it. You can harm it. You can be a nuisance and a distraction to it. Paul is exhorting us here to live a life that is consistent with pure motives, with a healthy method, being parent-like as we speak and love others, making sure that we do not judge or worry about being judged by anybody but God. So this day, spend a moment or two thinking, who can you be like a father to? Who are you like a father to? Who are you like a mother to? And not just your own children, but think of others in the church. Think of others around you. Think of others that you can take the courageous step to spend some time with, sharing the gospel and your life with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Paul's example. Help us. Help us to make the most of the ministries you've given us, that we would share the gospel. And even when it seems to be fruitless, that we would do it with integrity, with the right motive. We would do it in a way that is helpful and healthy, like a father, like a mother, knowing that in time you can bear fruit in all circumstances. So as we've thought of someone, help us to follow through. Make the most of the great news that we have to share with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.